Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, under cover of darkness and nothing more than the result of succumbing to political correctness, the president of famed Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, over the weekend removed a statue of General Robert E. Lee from the front of the school's chapel. Friends, let me be very, very honest with you. As much as I say this to the chagrin of many of my friends in the state of North Carolina, I have been a huge Duke basketball fan for years, and I became an even greater fan after reading an outstanding piece by Coach Mike Krzyzewski a number of years ago, an article which was in an airline magazine, where Coach K said this. He said, "I'm not really a basketball coach. I'm a developer of young men, and when I find a better avenue than basketball for accomplishing that task, that's what I'll do." Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate the educational emphasis as far as the emphasis on excellence of Duke University. But after this thing that's happened over the weekend with the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue, one of 10 that graced the front of the chapel there, beautiful chapel on the Duke University campus, I am questioning my loyalty as a Duke basketball fan. Well, friends, let me say this. That is going to be part of our topic of discussion today. Our general theme is going to be signs in the sky, signs of the times. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler. Sam Rohr is with me today. Dr. Gary Dahl is still away on a much needed vacation. And friends, in addition to all that's going on with the Civil War or the Confederate monuments, we have an occurrence that has not happened to this degree in the United States of America since 1918, and that is this incredible eclipse that is going to be taking place for some of you, even during the program. And so we're going to be talking about that in segments 2 and 3. But before we go there, I want to go back to this Duke situation. What is so disturbing about the decision at Duke University, as well as the removal of other statues and other places across the country, is that all this is being done based on very flawed thinking. What do I mean by that? Well, first, consider this. It's being done for no other reason than political correctness. And friends, in all honesty, the longer I breathe air, the more perturbed I get when it comes to this heinous motivation of political correctness. In an effort to be kinder, gentler, more socially acceptable, friends, we are throwing our very history away. And acknowledgement of one's history is not equal to approval of one's history, but trying to remove one's history is the first step toward totally altering and changing a culture and a society within a nation. And I believe that's exactly what's going on. Second, the reason I'm so upset about the removal of these Confederate images and monuments is that the reasons being offered, for example, the removal of General Lee's statue across the country, the reasons being offered for doing that are based on thoroughly incorrect history. And then number three, the most troubling to me is the fact that all of this is being promoted by individuals and groups who have very nefarious designs on America and her future. And I'm talking about people like George Soros, who is on record stating his hatred for the United States of America, progressive organizations that are bent on eliminating America's connection to God, and sinister elements that abound across our nation right now, internally as well as externally, who will stop at nothing less than destroying America and her Judeo-Christian heritage. So, Sam, I want to go to you. You've been following this, as have I. Is there any legitimate justification for removing these Confederate statues?
Dave, simply put, no. Now, understand where some of these folks are trying to come from. They're trying to say these individuals, again, you just said it, but they were racist. What they're saying is that having a statue of anybody involved with the Confederacy is the same as embracing and saying we are in support this day of racial inequality. That's what they're trying to say. But the question is that correct? The answer is no, that's not correct. That's what the Civil War, was all about. That war came to a close. That war was then embraced upon a healing process. In fact, the healing process had happened, Dave, up until these years where you've had many that have tried to step up and actually create and try to make a situation occur again where it appears that those things, in fact, had not happened. So, no, Dave, there is nothing to erase history, to erase our memory of the past, to erase our memory of the past, those things that have made us who and what we are, Dave, those are the ingredients for completely severing a people from their history. And with that, Dave, you separate a people from their nation. And when you separate a people from the support of their nation, Dave, it will fall. This is very serious.
It is incredibly serious, and I agree with you completely. This is nothing new. If you go back to the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, when Nebuchadnezzar confiscated young men, took them from Israel back to Babylon, one of the things he did, Sam, was change their nourishment. That is what they ate. There was a design behind that, and change their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the names of these young men. Their names, their Jewish names, were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but their names were changed to erase any connection to their heritage, to their godly upbringing, to their past. And so, Sam, what we're having happen here with the attempt to remove these statues, especially of men like Robert E. Lee, who was one of the most dedicated Christians, a man of impeccable integrity, a man who wrestled with the decision to stay loyal to his home state of Virginia, not over the issue of slavery, but over the issue of states' rights, and to fight there, giving up his commission as an officer in the army. I mean, the struggle he went through to make that decision is reflective of his Christian character. So all of this is happening again. Sam, here's what's so stunning to me, and here's what's so angering to me about the Duke situation that we're using as our illustration. They're removing the statue of Robert E. Lee, and yet on the Duke campus are two other statues, one of the founder of Duke, which is a gentleman named James Buchanan Duke, and also a statue of his father, G.W. Duke, who was a Confederate soldier, Sam. So the father of the founder of Duke University, famed Duke University, has a statue on the college campus, very prominently displayed. He was a Confederate soldier. Why are they not taking his statue down if they take down the statue of Robert E. Lee? Do you see the hypocrisy there?
Dave, absolutely. The hypocrisy is clear. And the point being made that you're trying to make, and we've said before, ladies and gentlemen, there is no end. If this can be justified to remove our history by removing a statue of someone that exemplary in their performance of their civic duty in regard, if that is unpermitted, then what can be retained? And Dave, as I said before we went on the air, there are folks down in Baltimore already took down some Confederate statues that are clamoring to take down a statue of, get this, Christopher Columbus. Calling Christopher Columbus a genocidal terrorist and a racist. Dave, where do we stop? There's no end. We got to draw the line, and just draw the line by keeping history the way it is.
We need to stand up and say enough's enough and not let this happen. We need to do it peacefully, but we need to do it. Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to discuss the hottest topic of the day, and that is the eclipse. And, of course, I am in the western part of the United States right now, and it starts here, going to make its way across the country. Is there more to this celestial event than meets the eye? No pun intended. We're going to talk about that right after this brief timeout.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community, hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, for the first time since 1918, the United States of America is the location for the viewing of a complete solar eclipse. Of course, millions of people are traveling to either the extreme West Coast, where I am this week, or to the East Coast, both in an attempt to view this amazing celestial phenomenon. The question I want to pose for the next two segments is this: is there something more to this alignment of the sun, moon, and the earth in such a way that the moon blocks the light of the sun onto the earth for approximately 2 minutes? Is there more to this than meets the eye? For example, is there some biblical significance to any eclipse? And more specifically, is there some biblical significance, even prophetic significance, to this one? You remember when Jesus died, his death on the cross was accompanied by 3 hours of darkness. The Bible says over the entire land is the word that is used in the King James Version. And the word land literally means over the entire world. So there was an eclipse for 3 hours over the entire world at that time. Then Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 says that during the tribulation period that's going to come, yet future on the earth, when the sixth seal is opened, this description is given. It says the sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair, the moon becomes as blood, the stars of heaven fall to the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind, and every mountain and island is moved out of their place. So, Sam, these are eclipses that appear to be supernatural events, not necessarily, as we would say, as today's eclipse is a more natural event. It occurs in the common course of things because eclipses do happen. But is there significance that can or should be attached, Sam, to the phenomenon that we are witnessing today? And I mean by that biblically and prophetically.
Dave, I think there is. Now, let me explain what I'm saying there. I think the best place to go is to God's Word, first of all. First place I think about going is to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. It says, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heavens to divide the day from the night." Now, and here's the first reason. "And let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years." Then, like verse 15, "then let them be lights in the heavens to give light on the earth." So when we think that the moon is there to give light by night, God says that is true. The sun, to rule the earth by day, that is true. If we wouldn't have the sun, we wouldn't be here. We'd have the moon. God gave that as for light. But the primary, the first thing listed, was for signs and for seasons. And if I go to the Hebrew and I look, Dave, at what that means, that sign means, is the Hebrew word oath, O-W-T-H. It literally means these things. It means signal, warning, miraculous sign, omen. Get the idea? It says, God said that I'm going to put those things in the heavens primarily to be a signal, a communicator, a communication from who? Well, it's got to be from God because it's not for us. We don't rule the heavens, but God does. He put them there for signs. We mark our month by it. That's the lunar month. That's what the Jewish calendar is built on. We mark the year by how things revolve around the sun, all that kind of stuff. So we know that. But the signs and the seasons, Dave, the signs part of it, we haven't really gotten into. We tend to run away from that. But God says they're there for signs. So therefore, we must, of by rights, look up and not read in things that don't exist. But Dave, we do and we should say, well, what is it that God puts up there? And one of the things is that when the sun is darkened, almost anywhere in history where we see there is an eclipse that has darkened the sun, that it's almost always, Dave, associated with warning, which is exactly what the meaning of oath is: signal, warning, miraculous sign, omen. It does. It means judgment or warning. So, yes, Dave, I think we have a very clear biblical foundation to say, look up. And when we look up, look in terms of what God said there. It's a sign. Logical question is, what's he saying by that sign? Because certainly this is a sign, and it is most unusual, but God put it there for that reason.
You know, Sam, that was one of the points I was going to bring up. Every time you find in the Bible the sun darkened or some form of an eclipse, whether it was a natural eclipse or what we would call a supernatural eclipse for 3 hours on the earth after the crucifixion of Christ, that's a supernatural event for it to last that long. But they're always in the context of judgment. With Christ's death on the cross, it's God's judgment on his son for the sins of the world. The Revelation 6 passage is God's judgment on humanity when the sun becomes black. So it's always in this concept of judgment. And yet today, Sam, most of the United States of America is approaching this eclipse, which is, I would say, a natural occurrence, but they're approaching it in a celebratory fashion. Do you think there should be, as Anne Graham Lotz said, not so much a celebratory approach to what's happening today, but a pausing to look to the heavens, and more importantly, look beyond the heavens to the God of heaven himself and say, Lord, what is it you're trying to say to the United States of America? Because the eclipse is crossing the country today. Is there something, God, you're trying to tell us? Is that the way we should approach it?
Dave, I think it's exactly how we should approach it. Because, see, we talk a lot about biblical worldview on this program. Any person can look at any event. Take the crucifixion of Christ as an example. The Romans, the Pharisees who wanted Christ crucified, looked at that. Actually, the devil himself looked at that as victory because they thought they had finished what God was attempting to do. Many of the believers at that point also thought, oh boy, but Christ resurrected from the grave, and that was victory. So we look back and say, well, that death on the cross, well, it was victory, because, Dave, we have eternal life because of that if we trust in what Christ has done. Same way here, we can look at any event. The pilgrims of old, when they came to this country, when it rained too much and they lost their crops, when they had harsh weather that disturbed what they were doing, they looked at it and said, God is trying to speak to us. And they got down on their knees and say, oh, Lord, you control the weather. What are we doing? What are we not doing in relationship? They took that and they went on their knees and I said, God, what should we do? Well, Dave, should we not? I mean, humanly speaking, for those who are out there right now who don't know the Lord, who've embraced evolution, who've embraced, we see, without God, they have no reason to even consider God in this. So they look at it as, in my opinion, a celebratory fashion because, wow, this marvelous event that is occurring. But for believers, if we understand what God said, I did it for signs, a miraculous event, which is the meaning of sign, a miraculous event, natural, signal, warning, anything that's happening in the stars, Dave, is natural because it's all happening. But the fact that this is crossing our country for the first time ever from coast to coast, just as in past eclipses, when one went across Europe and right before the beginning of World War I, when it went in the days of Jonah right over Nineveh, that preceded Jonah's pronouncement of judgment by God there on Nineveh. It was a warning. They repented when they saw it. Dave, it accompanies these things. So we can look at it and say, oh, explain it away. Or we can look and say, no, God has put it there for a reason. What has history shown us? What would God be telling us now? And if anyone has any astuteness at all, in my opinion, Dave, believer, if they look at America, they can't say that God is rejoicing over the active, vibrant life of Christians in America. And he certainly cannot say, God cannot be saying, thank you, Supreme Court, for recognizing life to be life and marriage to be marriage. And thank you, Congress, for all that you're doing. No, 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 no. And that's why I think Anne Lotz Graham is exactly correct. This is not celebratory. This should be a stark awakening of saying, God, 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 where are we as believers before you, and where are we as a nation? And we're not in a good stead before God as a nation.
Sam, I want to read this passage of scripture. Luke 21:25 says this, speaking of the end time, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Sam, is there any possibility that what we're watching happen today is a precursor to that prediction in Luke 21?
Dave, I think it is. Now, are we going to be so precise, say, this day, that day? No. But, Dave, how can one read the portion of Scripture that you're talking about and look around? Look around where we are. Dave, are people's hearts not in distress? As we sit here right now, North Korea still says they're going to bring us to ashes. I mean, Dave, the armies, the enemies of Israel are surrounding Jerusalem. Are these not what Scripture's talking about? No, I think, Dave, we must look at these things because these are not accidental. There are no coincidences in God's sovereign plan. He does give us plenty of warning. Point is, are we going to be able to connect the dots sufficiently to be able to see God in what's happening? We should.
Well, Sam, I agree. In addition to what's taking place with respect to the eclipse, friends, all you have to do is look at the alignment of nations, not the alignments of celestial bodies, but the alignment of nations, according to Ezekiel 38, and understand what's taking place there. And you understand we are living in incredibly important times from a prophetic point of view. Well, friends, when we come back, we're going to be right in the middle of the eclipse as it starts across the country. We're going to talk about this topic further, signs in the sky, signs of the times, after this brief timeout.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Sam Rohr, and we're talking about an event that is unfolding even as we speak, and that is this complete solar eclipse. For the first time, this is happening in the United States of America since 1918. 99 years ago is the last time we had something like this, as it works its way across the United States of America from East Coast, or West Coast rather, to the East Coast. Sam, according to all of the experts, they're saying that 7 years from now, there's going to be another total solar eclipse that's going to work its way across the entirety of the United States. Basically, if you take the arc today from the West Coast, the arc I'm talking about of the eclipse from the West Coast to the East Coast, and you take the arc created by the eclipse 7 years from now, it's going to form an X across the United States of America. So 7 years, 7 years from now, we're going to go through this again. Some are seeing significance, Sam, to that 7 year time period, because many who know the Bible know that there's going to be a 7 year tribulation period. And so they're trying to find, or maybe should find, some significance to that. Do you see anything significant to the fact that 7 years from now, we're going to face this again?
Well, Dave, here again, we can take events such as this, which man has had nothing to do with. No man can adjust the sun, can coordinate the moon, can align the stars. That's all God. No one chooses or can plan, although you can project because of the precision that which God has established and placed celestial bodies into position. They operate like, well, actually better than clockwork. They're precise. You can look back and absolutely ascertain what has happened, and you can also project forward and project what will happen. Incredible, incredible. But this is of God's doing. Man had nothing to do with it. So when a solar eclipse of this type falls, as this case, only on these United States, coast to coast. Actually, the one in 1918 didn't go coast to coast. It was partial. But this one goes coast to coast. And this next one goes from northeast to southwest, exiting down around Austin, coming up in the northern tip of Maine 7 years from now. Dave, again, as far as I have seen in NASA projections and looking back, don't find an example of that anywhere in history, ever, that with their one location where they actually came from two different directions, and the X marks the spot, right smack in the middle of this country. So it is significant. And when you put in seven, No, to God, there's numbers mean things. Seven is a completion number. It's not accidental. All through Scripture, numbers mean things. So, Dave, it's not hard to say 7 years. Wow, United States. Wow, eclipse, times of judgment, warning, twice in 7 years. Dave, you can see easily how people can say this ties into the prophetical portion. And whereas one cannot say, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen at that point, I don't think, Dave, we can, nor should we, probably to our harm, to explain away and say, all totally accidental. God doesn't work that way. There's no accident. So, Dave, there is something significant for those reasons, I think.
Well, I would agree with you, Sam, and I think the best statement I've read with respect to this came from the lips of Anne Graham Lotz, and I want to read her comment. I thought it was very, very powerful, very, very balanced. She said, a warning is triggered by the total solar eclipse of August 21st, nicknamed America's Eclipse. And I'm going to pause and say, Sam, that's what you're referring to. This is the first time it's happened like this in the United States of America. So hence it's being nicknamed America's Eclipse. Let me pick up with Anne Graham Lotz's comment. She says, from the first time in almost 100 years, a total solar eclipse will be seen from coast to coast in our nation. People are preparing to mark this significant event with viewing parties at exclusive prime sites. The celebratory nature regarding the eclipse brings to my mind the Babylonian king Belshazzar, who threw a drunken feast the night the Medes and Persians crept under the city gate. Therefore, my perspective on the upcoming phenomenon is not celebratory. While no one can know for sure if judgment is coming to America, it does seem that God is signaling us about something. Time will tell what that something is. Sam, I thought that was very well stated.
Dave, I do too, because, again, it wraps up all the things we've been talking about on the program thus far. It fits within the context of Scripture generally. It fits within the context of God speaking to man and saying, I put these signs up there for you. Are you going to listen? Are you going to look? And David does tie in with the whole concept that we as believers ought to be in continual examination of ourselves anyway, all the time. All the time we should, but we know that the nature of man is to, when things are great, we walk away from him and we forget God. That's what God told Israel. Don't forget what I've done for you. Dave, can anyone say that as a nation, we give any regard to God and God's laying the foundation for our nation, establishing our nation, and God we trust? Can anybody say really that in God we trusted our nation? Dave, I guarantee you no Congress of today would ever take and put in God we trust on our coins today. Matt, they may get to the point where they're going to take it off, but they're not going to put it on. Things have changed, Dave. We ought to be in those points of examination always. And so that's what Anne is saying. We should be looking within, and we shouldn't be looking around for answers. We should be looking up to God and say, Lord, are you trying to speak to me? That's what it should be about. I think she's right.
You know, the book of Nahum 1, verse 3 says, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, in the clouds, or the dust of his feet. And frequently in times past, when we've had hurricanes hit the east coast of the United States of America or come up through the central portion of the Gulf and hit the state of Texas or the state of Louisiana, we've talked on this program about a signal coming from God with respect to that. I want to move off of the eclipse per se, Sam, and ask you a question, something you and I were talking about before we went live on the program today, and that is this incident, and there's three of them now that have happened in a short amount of time, and that is these collisions of some of our military ships, aircraft carriers, the most recent one being the USS John McCain, that had a collision with a tanker. I mean, Sam, we're talking about equipment that is of the highest caliber, the latest technology, and we're in a massive ocean area, and you're going to have a collision with a tanker. When these kind of things happen, should we take from that more than just, well, you know, somebody got careless or maybe there was a malfunction of equipment? Could we take from these things, Sam? Should we even consider the fact that maybe these things are happening because God's hand of blessing is not fully on the United States? And even these things should be viewed as a warning from God. America, take an honest look as a nation at where you are.
Dave, I believe they absolutely work together. When I look at the headlines right now, and as you say, and it was that's just been happened because of the John McCain collision, the John McCain ship, the naval ship there that collided, that's now in dock with severe damage, just like the other two. The Navy has now halted Pacific Fleet operations. The Navy, the United States Navy. Think of that. Our aircraft carriers, our submarines. That's all part of the Navy. All of them have been halted. Now, I can't tell you exactly what that means, but I think halt means halt, meaning they don't know what's happening, meaning that they're doing some serious examination, saying what in the world, because now you have three ships, Dave, equipped with the latest technology, theoretically impervious to the attacks of the enemy. And where are they sitting, Dave? The Far East. They're over there in the Sea of Japan. They're over there close to North Korea that's threatening to take us out. And here we are saying we're going to bring down, as the president said, hell and fury, which is what the words are being used on you, North Korea. And you have what? The entire Navy on halted right now? I don't even know that these joint maneuvers, Dave, right now between the United States and South Korea and Japan, UK and Australia, that's a part of it. How in the world can they make a joint maneuvers when the U.S. Navy is in halt position? If, Dave, if a tanker moving into a naval ship, this being the third one, can halt the U.S. Navy, where should our hope be? I think of the verse that says, some men trust in horses, some in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Dave, I believe that we as a nation, we trust in our banking system, we trust in our bank accounts, and we trust in our military. A tanker can run into an advanced naval ship and together put our whole Navy on hold. My trust is not in those things. I pray for those individuals, but my trust is in the name of the Lord our God, and I'm looking up, Dave. I'm looking up.
Well, Sam, you know, you're reading my mail on multiple levels. I was thinking precisely the same thing. We've got these maneuvers going on with South Korea, and now everything's on halt. Everything's been put on hold. I would interpret the word exactly the way you do, that everything has come to a stop. Would this not be, if you were a foreign leader with nefarious intent, would this not be the time that you would want to launch some type of an attack? So, Sam, this is anything less than significant. And friends, we're not saying this to try to create fear. That is not the point. But I would say this, what we do need to learn from this is we need to run back into a relationship with and into the wide open loving arms of God himself and quit thwarting his word, his will, and his ways as we have been doing as a country for so long. We need to turn back to him. Sam, only when we do that can there be an answer to these things that we're talking about. Well, friends, when we come back in our solutions segment, we're going to tie all this together. There's something else that's very intriguing that's going on that has gotten the attention of the White House in a significant way, and it has to do with what we talked about at the beginning of the program. What's all that about? Don't miss this next segment, our solutions segment on Stand in the Gap Today, right after this brief.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and his works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, we want to talk in the solutions segment today about something that I think you're going to find very, very intriguing. It has to do with what we started the program out talking about, and that is the removal of these Confederate statues across the United States of America. All of that prompted by what happened Saturday a week ago in Charlottesville, Virginia. At that rally, it was called Unite the Right. The Unite the Right group, made up of white supremacists, KKK members, and so on, had obtained a permit to hold the rally, but then left-leaning groups made up of organizations like Color of Change, which is a George Soros-funded group, Antifa, which is an anti-fascist group, they showed up in Charlottesville to protest what those on the so-called alt-right were doing. And of course, the rest, as we know now, is history. There was a violent confrontation. There was one person killed when this man ran his car down through the crowd of counter-protesters, as the media is calling those on the left. And so all of that now is well known. But here is what is fascinating. A petition was put up just a couple of days ago on the White House website urging the Trump administration to label the left-wing Antifa as a terror group. And if you know anything about how these petitions work, it started under the Obama administration. If a petition is posted and within 30 days receives 100,000 signatures, then the White House promises to respond. Well, here is the entire petition that was posted, and it has garnered well over 100,000 signatures, not in 30 days, but in the last couple of days. The petition says this, and by the way, it was posted by someone who only used the initials M.A. and again called for Antifa to be formally recognized as a terror group. The petition says this: terrorism is defined as the use of violence and intimidation in pursuit of political aims. This definition is the same definition used to declare ISIS and other groups as terrorist organizations. Antifa has earned this title due to its violent actions in multiple cities and their influence in the killings of multiple police officers throughout the United States. It is time for the Pentagon to be consistent in its actions. And just as they rightfully declared ISIS a terror group, they must declare Antifa a terror group on the grounds of principle, integrity, morality, and safety. And as of today, it has garnered over 160,000 signatures after having been posted just a couple of days ago. Sam, I want to go to you and ask you this question because I find this to be interesting. There are some that are saying that Donald Trump is losing influence, that his followers are not as engaged as they were when he was elected president. Yet the fact that he was the first one to come out and say, you know, it's not just those on the alt-right, it's those on the alt-left that have problems. In fact, it was both of them that brought about the tragic violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. These number of signatures with this petition, Sam, would tend to indicate there's a lot of people in America that agree precisely with our president.
That, in fact, they do. And I don't think that the complaints that some are saying that the base has weakened or not as involved, I think that kind of thing right there proves it clearly to the contrary. I do know, however, that there is a great struggle going on inside the White House and the administration on the matter of declaring terrorist groups to be terrorists. For instance, we've cited here many times, Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. It's that way in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia has identified them as a group. Now, they disagree with them, perhaps not in the end goal, but they disagree with them in the technical parts. But nonetheless, they're identified that way. There was the hope that when the president came in, that that, in fact, would be declared. Now appears that those within inside, General McMaster's and others, have moved away from that. However, so that's a concern. But for the president to say alt-left and Antifa as a terrorist group, he named them as well. Now, this is an appropriate thing. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you have the number or how people can get to sign that petition, Dave, but if there are folks, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to the program today and you'd like to sign that, I'd say go there and sign on to that petition, because this group is a terrorist organization. And if they are identified as such, then the Justice Department will begin to move against them. But until they are, they tend to operate a little bit under the radar.
Well, Sam, they do. And by the way, friends, if you would like to sign that petition, the way you can do that is just simply Google whitehouse.gov, and you can follow the homepage there. It'll direct you to where you can put your signature on this petition. But Sam, what is amazing and intriguing to me is that this is happening in the United States. It's obviously raised the ire of a lot of people across the country. The removal, as we talked about in the first segment of our history, and people see it, I believe, or at least they're increasingly seeing it as what it is. What I'd like us to do in this segment, because we call it our solution segment, is talk a little bit about what we can do with respect to this attempt to remove our history. While we have been on the program, I've received a couple of texts from a friend of mine. Yesterday, he is a pastor. He said, yesterday I preached on this very thing about the removal of our landmarks, the removal of these Confederate statues, and how it is more than just an attempt to remove racist individuals, because Robert E. Lee was not a racist at all. It's an attempt to erase our history. And this pastor said, I addressed it directly. And can you believe this? Two people got saved at the end of the message because God empowered him to preach it. But he's addressing it, Sam. That's one thing that can be done is pastors talk about how critical our history is and the maintaining of it, what God has done in the past. But what can the common citizen, the listener to this program, do when they see these things happening, they're troubled by it? What can they do?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One, all of you folks who are listening, if you are a parent, if you are a grandparent, if you're listening to this program, you're sensitive to the things to which we're talking. The biblical principle is fathers must pass along to their sons and the grandsons truth. That's what comes from God, but it's also truth relative to our nation's history, the facts, the truth, the history. We learn from history, we should. That should happen. Grandfathers, grandmothers, talk to your grandchildren. They're not getting a lot of these things in school. Talk to them, pass along to them, encourage them to take and study. Dave, that's a very easy one. And because there are more grandparents and parents out there right now listening to us, to anybody right now, if all of you were to do that, it would impact things faster than you can imagine. That's one thing. Just start there. Just speak, communicate to your children and your grandchildren.
Great suggestion, Sam. And I want to do this because I've been recommending this book to a lot of people. I want to mention it again. It's a great book that Ronald Reagan wanted taught in every public high school history class. Unfortunately, he was unable to get that accomplished during his tenure as president of the United States. But the title of the book is The 5,000 Year Leap. The 5,000 Year Leap. It will help you understand the significance of the formation of the United States of America, the fact that God's hand, friends, was on this country. He birthed this nation, and he has certainly blessed this nation in the 240 years of its existence. And a great place to begin teaching, as Sam has advocated, your children, your grandchildren, is by reading this book yourself, and perhaps your children, young people, are older. You can encourage them, purchase a copy for them, and encourage them to read the book. And then, friends, talk. When you see things that are wrong, that are going on within the context of our country, address them in a very direct way. Well, friends, thank you for joining us today. This has been Stand in the Gap Today, Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr. Join us again tomorrow, 23 hours from now, as we take our next venture into the truth. And until then, you stand up for the truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.